Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we pray for understanding with regards to your word. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes and our ears, that we may know the times that we are living in. Give us wisdom to perceive and then to go out and to warn others about the judgment that is to come. Let us know in our hearts, Lord, that the only right thing to do is to worship you. The only right thing to do is to be a Christian. And Lord, as we put our trust in you, may we know in our hearts that you watch over us, that you keep us, and that you guide us. Give us the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, so that we can walk worthy of you in our lives as Christians with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this morning looking at the prophet Zechariah, and we're now in our seventh part. The title of the message this morning is Christ's Coming Foretold. Christ's Coming Foretold. And we are busy going through the book of Zechariah, and Zechariah, as we have seen, means Jehovah remembers. And this in itself is a prophecy because God remembers. God has not forgotten His word. God has not forgotten Israel. God has not forgotten Jerusalem. And God has not forgotten you because He loves you. Zechariah was raised up at a time when the Jews had just returned from the Babylonian captivity, and this in itself was a fulfillment of many prophecies given by the prophets of God. A few had heard the call to leave Babylon and to return to the promised land. And when they returned and began to be obedient to the call of God, there was tremendous opposition, as always in your life when you are obedient to the call of God. But so much so that the work on God's temple had stopped and man became interested in furthering his own kingdom and neglecting God's. And this can so easily happen to us if we lose our first love and are swayed by persecution and the tests and the trials that must come. Zechariah was raised up by God to bring words of comfort and of hope, assuring Israel of God's future blessings. His first message was a call to repentance. "Don't be like your fathers," he said, "who were disobedient and who were then judged of God, but turn to God so that God can bless you." And this is always the message. Don't be rebellious. Don't turn away from God because judgment is coming, but rather turn to God so that God can bless you. This message, the beginning of his ministry, was given in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius in 520 BC, 2 months after Haggai's first message. And chapter 2 verses 4 of Zechariah tells us that he was a young man when he began his ministry. His series of night visions came at a crucial time soon after his first message, and this offered encouragement to those building the temple because God revealed that he was with them, even in great danger. Jerusalem would be a great city, he said. The enemies of God were to be put down. Christ would rule and reign from Jerusalem. The Jews were going to be the light of the world again, and the temple would be finished. And all of this given 500 years before Christ in a place that was desolate. 2 years later, and this is what we looked at last time, the practical question of observing the fast arose, and Zechariah pointed out that the key to right relationship with God is obedience. Fasting for the sake of fasting means nothing. Being religious means nothing if you don't have right relationship with God. But then we come to chapter 9 in our study, and these remaining messages of Zechariah from chapters 9 to 14 are not dated. These chapters constitute the burden of the word of the Lord and are different from the first 8 chapters in that they deal exclusively with the future. Most scholars believe this part of Zechariah to have been given much later on in his life, possibly 40 or 50 years later than the first messages that we have already looked at, basically at the end of his life when he was an old man. Zechariah 9-14 is largely messianic, dealing with the first and the second coming of Christ. The king is introduced as coming in a humble manner, bringing salvation, but being rejected by his own people, the Israelites. They are subsequently abandoned to the nations for judgment. When the nations gather for battle against Jerusalem, in the end, at the Battle of Armageddon, Israel will recognize him whom they have pierced and will all be saved. Then they will emerge in victory, and Christ will set up his messianic kingdom from Jerusalem, restoring the Jewish people and bringing peace to the nations who will come and worship him. Zechariah speaks to us because he speaks even to our time. And this is another point to think about. So many prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled. So do you take a chance with the ones that have not been? The Word tells us that God has declared the end from the beginning, that his Word shall be done. So let's look at our next chapter, chapter 9 this morning of Zechariah. I'll read the chapter first and then we'll examine it more closely. Zechariah chapter 9 from verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of men, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be towards the Lord. And Hamath also, border